Good morning, church. How are we all this morning? Who's had an awesome week? Awesome. This morning, I just want to share a message, and you would have picked up the theme if you were awake this morning, which I'm sure you all are, of a servant king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that came to give life where there was no life, to give hope where there was no hope. And above all, to serve. Now, when we think of a king, we think of someone who is in control, in charge, in authority. We think of royalty. We think of someone who is to be served, not to serve. Would you agree? If I went to the king's palace, King Charles as an example, if I went to his palace and I walked in there and I was having a coffee with him, not that I would do this, or have that opportunity most probably. But if I did, would he make the coffee? Perhaps he would, but would there be servants in his house to make the coffee and to serve in his house? Most probably. Because there's a difference between a worldly king and the King of Kings. Amen? And that's who we're here to talk about this morning, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the servant king, the one who would bow down before his disciples, as Steve read before, and wash their feet. A picture of humility at its greatest, to come and wash the feet of his disciples, demonstrating his humility, demonstrating his love and his purpose in this life. When he came to this world, his people were expecting a political, military superpower, a king who would take control. If you're the king, take control. Take out the Romans, give us freedom. And instead, we get someone who is washing the disciples' feet, meek and mild. But he is coming one day as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will restore all things. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more hopelessness, because the servant king who served by going to the cross of Calvary is coming. And he's coming with power. He's coming with dominion. He's coming with authority. And you know the best news about all that, besides what that news is that you're a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. And if we're a child of the King, and he was the supreme example of servanthood, I believe we ought to be an example of servanthood in our community, in our life. Would you agree? Let's open in prayer this morning, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're called to serve in your courts. We thank you that we're here to here today, this morning, serving you in whatever capacity that we are able and that we are called to do. I thank you, Lord, as we share this message this morning, that the Holy Spirit will be the leader in this morning. Every word that is pronounced from this pulpit, Father God, would be anointed by your Spirit, and that lives will be changed and touched, and that your glory, Father God, will be manifested in every heart that is represented here today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the desire of our heart needs to be service. In his service, in the service of Jesus Christ, in all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. And we just pray this day, this blessing, a blessing on this day, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. That song, The Servant King, the first song that we sang, there's some instructions in there. And when we hear Servant King, it's sort of like a, like I said at the start, it's like an oxymoron. Do you know what that is? I don't want to say bad words from up here, but an oxymoron is an opposite. Like, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. A king who serves. But the servant king chose to serve, and he calls us now to do the same, to serve him. Now, we need an empowerment to serve. We can make the decision and wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm just going to go and serve today. I'm going to serve in the body of Christ today. I'm going to serve in the community today. And you can do that in your own strength. But there's nothing greater than being able to serve in the strength of Jesus Christ, in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit gives you the dunamis, the power, the leadings, the guidings, and he will lead you into some truth, all truth. He will lead you into all truth. He will bring you to that place where you will see someone maybe packing their groceries into the car. And you think, well, they're really struggling with that. Am I going to just walk past, jump in my car and go home and cook my dinner? Or will I help this lady or this man, whoever it might be, help them pack their groceries? You know, we can serve in the church, but we need to serve in our community as well. Amen? So my encouragement, number one today, is for you to be on the lookout. Look out for opportunities, because there's opportunities every single day. When I arrived at church this morning, Marilyn Dunn, David's wife, was having a problem with her car, and it was a few spits of rain and stuff, and I said she had to reset it, and she got it done fairly quickly. But a servant in that case, just using that as an example, if it was pouring down rain and Marilyn had that problem, would you stay and help her get that fixed, or send her in perhaps and try and fix it? That's a servant. Amen? We need to put our own lives aside for the benefit of someone else. We need to love others more than our own selves. We need to take up our cross and follow him. We need to make the decision in our lives to follow Jesus. And part of following him is servanthood, to be a servant. In fact, I believe that's the most important part. I was a pastor for 9 years, and I have to admit today, when I first became appointed and ordained as that pastor of that church, I felt like a bit of a boss. I felt like a bit of someone in charge, that I could tell this one to do that and this one to do that, because it was a bit of a novelty. But I soon began to realize that you weren't the boss, you're the servant. You're the one who is to see opportunities to raise people up, to see opportunities when people are down and bearing burdens of their own, to come alongside them and serve them in whatever way you can. To be that person, and it's not about being a good person. How many of you in here are a good person? You know your scriptures. But the point of the matter is, no one's good, but Jesus is. And when Jesus comes to live in you, which I believe he does in every one of you, and if he doesn't, I want to see you after the service, Pastor Dave. We want to see you after the service. Because when Jesus comes to make his home in you, that servanthood becomes a natural part of you. In fact, I should say it's a supernatural, because it's a supernatural gift, I believe. It's supernatural to go over and above. We're in a world, they have done tests on YouTube and all sorts of things, where someone's really struggling and sitting on the side of the street. You may have seen some of these tests. And they're struggling, whatever the case might be. And you know how many people will just walk past and leave them? They just leave them. And then all of a sudden someone comes past and picks up. Just like the story of the Good Samaritan. We need to be good Samaritans. That's service. That's service. Even so, even though we were outside, God has brought us in through his love, through the manifold grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand here full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God. And when the Word of God is in our hearts and in our lives, the overflow of that touches every life out there in the community, out there in the church, in the youth groups, wherever you go, you're going to touch people. Who wants to touch people with the goodness of God? Well, I can tell you how you do that is through the servanthood, through service of God. And this morning, my challenge to you is, will you answer that call? Will you answer that call this morning to serve in the house of God? Will you serve in the community? And you might be sitting there this morning thinking, what am I going to do? I'm just a pew sitter. I'm just someone who just comes to church on Sundays. I can't offer anything. You know what? See this finger and see yourself. I could point at every person. I'm not a good finger pointer, but I could point at every person. Every one of you will have a call of God on your life. Some of you have discovered it. Some of you haven't discovered it. Some of you have discovered it, but not game to step into it. My encouragement to you today is to step into that call of God, because the servant heart in you will make a difference in someone else. Amen? And I want you to understand that when you step out, sometimes you might slip. Sometimes. It might not work out how you want it to work, but I can tell you, God will lift you back up every single time. He'll reach his hand down and pick you up when you are faithful to him. There is not one story in the Bible that God does not reward obedience, does not reward servanthood, does not reward faithfulness. He's the faithful God. Everyone say, he's the faithful God. If it's in your heart, you don't have to say if you don't, but he is the faithful God. He loves you with an everlasting love, and there's nothing that he cannot do. The passage this morning, that's one of the passages Steve read, it said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. This is found in Mark 10:45. I'm sorry, I had a PowerPoint, but it's not working. So you'll just have to put up with me this morning. So the screen's blank. That's why the screen's blank. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for a few people. For many. In other words, he's willing that none perish, that all come to repentance. You might have a heathen relative or a heathen friend. You just look at it and say, hey, there's no way. If they walk in the church, that whole church is going to fall down. Have you ever seen a church fall down when someone walked in it? You heard that saying? Well, maybe it has happened, I don't know, but no, it doesn't happen. It's just a cop-out as far as I'm concerned. But we need to have a heart for those outside. Pastor Dave suggested this morning in the announcements to invite someone this coming Friday, this coming Sunday to church. You know, sometimes we have to pray for a boldness. We know people. Who knows people other than your family in here? Who knows people other, like, who's got neighbors? Yeah, you all live in a house somewhere. You got a neighbor. You know, we all know other people. We all know, and a lot of us know, who aren't saved, who don't know the Lord. Now, does coming to church save you? No. The confession of Jesus Christ saves you. The belief in God that he raised him from the dead saves you. The confession with your mouth. That's what saves you. Church is a place where we can fellowship and celebrate the victories of the past week and life. And we can also bear the burdens. And we can also serve. We can serve in the house of God, whether that be in music, in preaching, in sharing, in Bible studies, in youth group, in children's ministry, whatever. There's so much to do. And when we serve, there is a fulfillment in our hearts, but it's a blessing that comes to our lives because God pours that blessing upon his servants. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. When Pastor Dave asked me to preach this morning, I could have said, well, nah, don't want to. I'm not going to do it. Don't feel called. But I do it because I want to serve. I want to serve where I can. I want to help where I can. But this is nothing, what we do here, to what we can do out there. Amen? You're all saved. Well, I pray that you're all saved. You are here today for edification, to be built up in your most holy faith. There's people out there that don't have a faith. There's people out there that don't know the way of truth. And but for our voices to them, they won't hear it. And sometimes not even our voices. You know, the only Jesus someone might see in their whole life might be the Jesus in your actions. Mightn't even be the spoken word saying, hey, you need Jesus. You need to confess your sins. You're a sinner. You know, the Ray Comfort message. You know, I'm not sure if you know Ray Comfort, but he brings that message of, you know, sometimes fire and brimstone, it sounds like, but if you're a liar, have you ever lied? Yes, I've lied. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Yes, I've done that. You know, well, that makes you a lying adulteress. You know, you don't want to hear that on the street, do you? Who wants to hear that? Well, it's true. Biblically, it's true. But we need to serve in the way that the life that we live, even without speaking those words, that people will say there's just something different about that person. When trials and challenges come against them in life, they just seem to handle it a lot better than most. When a bad report from the doctor comes, they have a faith that is, you know, they go home, yes, they're upset and as a natural human being would, but then they suddenly draw on the faith and they draw on the Holy Spirit and draw on the Word of God and the promises that are therein. And they find a strength, they find a hope. They find that Jesus is the healer. Does he always heal? No, he doesn't. But they do know, and we know, and we need to know, that he wants what's best for you. There was a book written one day, and I want to correct that book, if I may. And it was called Your Best Life Now. I'm not going to tell you who the author was. But yeah, I've got my best life now. Right, great, fine. But my best life is with Jesus. My best life is serving him day by day, moment by moment, which I don't do all the time, neither do any of us. Sometimes we find ourselves walking away, and sometimes we look at an opportunity to go and help someone and we don't answer that call. We just walk away from it. I want to encourage you this morning to embrace opportunity to serve. When there's someone out there who is hurting, if you have ability, if you have the resources, if you have anything at all, you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a millionaire, you don't have to have mountains and mountains of resources to help someone. You can help someone right where you're at. Amen? I want you to understand that this morning. We are called to servanthood. There are no exceptions. And I'm going to read a passage here from 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, because I can talk and talk, but I need to bring some scripture to you so that my talk is backed up by scripture. Amen? So 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Actually, amen is written there in the scripture. When you have a gift, it is a responsibility of yours to administer that gift where you're called to. Amen? And there's steps in finding, in the Christian walk, in finding where that gift is, what that gift is, and where you are called to use that gift. And that's where I would bring an encouragement to each one of us to pray. Praying always without ceasing. Praying always knowing that you have the gift, but what do you want me to do with it, Lord? I have the gift of music, so should I help with a music team? Or not necessarily. I have the gift of preaching, or I have the gift of teaching people the Bible. I'm a great Bible teacher. There's people in here I know, and I've known for a long time, who are great Bible teachers. Great Bible teachers, more than I'll ever be. But I listen to them because I look at them as mentors, because they've taught me. I've had a gentleman in our church for a number of years, and in the first few years in particular, every sermon I preached, he got up at the end and corrected something. So humble Anthony, just, what did he think he did? At first, I was full of pride. At first, I thought, hey, I've got all this together. What do you think? I've done Bible college. I know everything. But sometimes there'll be people, servants of the Most High God, that he will put before you to bring correction, to bring reproof, to bring instruction, just like 2 Timothy talks about. And what's it for? It's for the equipping of the saints. It's to be better equipped. The message that I am sharing with you this morning, I had to be equipped to share that this morning. Number one was, I need the Holy Spirit. Nothing more than that. No one more than that. But number two is that I had to study the Word to show myself approved, because I am looking at the Word to bring to the people. It's a responsibility. A responsibility that in my life, even as a pastor at times, I have taken lightly. I admit that. But no more. We can't take the Word of God lightly. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. What's the intent of your heart this morning? Are you intended on serving the Lord unconditionally? How many of you in here could relate to, and what if this resonates with your heart today, is that when you're not feeling the best, like a cold or something, who slackens off a little bit in certain things, especially reading the scripture and doing things that you would normally do? My hand goes up. There's only one or two of you. I'm very proud of everyone else. So well done. Because that's the right answer. You've got to push through. But generally speaking, human beings, when something comes against us, we don't like to push back too much if it's too much effort. But we have to make the effort. We have to step forward. We need to press into him. We need to press into Jesus more and more. The more and more the enemy comes against us like a flood, the more and more we need to trust in God. The more and more we need to have that attitude in our hearts and in our lives that, hey, enemy, you're coming against me, but you know what? I'm going to smack you in the chops right back because I'm going to go out and serve in the kingdom. I'm going to go and pray for someone. I'm going to go and bless someone with something, or I'm going to go and do something for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to stand against whatever you're bringing against me, because I know greater is he who's in me than he is in the world. And the Lord rewards his servants. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who slackly seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligence. What's diligence? Diligence is to arrive at church at 7:30 in the morning instead of 9:29. Diligence is to go out there over and above and drop all what you're doing and go and do something else for someone else that's not going to benefit you at all. You'll have no gain from it. But you know what? As I'm doing that, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I'm laying it up, and he's pouring it out in blessings. He's pouring it out, and I'm not talking finances. I'm talking blessing of a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who loves you with an everlasting love, and that will not change. Even if you choose not to listen to a word that I'm saying this morning, he still loves you. He's still gonna work in you. He's still going to bring about change in you if you allow him to. You know, how many of you know this morning we're called to good works? The Bible teaches that, and I'm just going to read the passage that talks about, or some passages that talk about that. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I'm not talking good works unto salvation, because no matter how many good works you do, you're not going to be saved because of your good works. Works are nothing in that sense. But as a believer, as a citizen of heaven, when the royal blood of Jesus flows through your veins, you are his workmanship. You are his creation. You are his possession. You are his favorite. He has no favorites, but you're all his favorite. Amen? I had a pastor in a message one day saying, oh, I'm just God's favorite. No, you're not. Everyone is his favorite. He is no respecter of persons. But he has created you for good works. He's created you to serve in his kingdom. Elijah, when he was in Mount Carmel against the 400 prophets of Baal, he said this. He said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Either you're going to follow God or you're going to follow Baal. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Baal. And you know what the people said? What was their response? No one knows. That's good, because you've said nothing. That's exactly what they said. Nothing. They didn't respond. The Bible says the people said not a word. When that challenge was posed to them, they said not a word. And for whatever reason they said it, I don't know. Humanity, I guess. But I want you to understand this morning that we're called to good works. We're called to serve in the house of God. Going to move on this morning to another point in relation to leaping into this service of God that we're called to. And I don't know if you've ever seen the photo. I did have it on my PowerPoint, so I'm just going to try to explain it to you now. Is that there was a man, a rock climber, at the top of one side of a canyon, or not a big canyon, a short one, and he's leaping across. And in the picture, it looks like he's not going to make it. But he's made the decision to jump. He's made the decision to go. I'm sure he did make it in the end. It was just the way the picture was. But sometimes, just like the water walking disciple story, Peter walking on the water, Sometimes we have to make the decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that decision even though the risks and the danger and everything else is there before us to stop us. We need to step out of that boat and go and walk. But you know what the key is? We can't just go and step out and just hope for the best. I'm not going to step off here, by the way, in case anyone's worried. But we need to look to Jesus. Don't take your eyes off him. And when we look to Jesus, we learn his heart. We learn about his love. We learn about his kindness. We learn about his joy. We learn about his peace and all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And not only learn about, but we are partakers of that divine nature. Who wants to be a partaker of what Jesus, who he is and what he can give through his Holy Spirit, through his word? Who wants to be a partaker of that? I hope every hand goes up. Because we need to be partakers of the divine nature. Thank you, Dion. We need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have what he has. In fact, when he was talking to the disciples, I'll see if I can find this scripture, in John 14:12, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, his disciples, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus, in his ministry, was in one place at one time. Paul, in his ministry, all of the apostles, the ministers of the gospel through Scripture, they were in one place at one time, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, when you see Jesus delivering demons, getting people delivered of demons and healed of sicknesses, and the blind would see, the deaf will hear, when he forgives the sin of the adulterous woman, all of the actions of the ministry of Jesus, when we see all that, and Jesus yet in this passage is saying, you're going to do greater works. I can't understand that, but one thing I can explain on that is that the greater works is global. The greater works isn't just in one little corner, but when everyone in every church, every believer, true believer in Jesus Christ is doing servanthood, is serving in their church, serving in the kingdom of God. How many lives can be touched? How many souls can be won? How many lives can be transformed and minds be renewed when people in the church are doing what we are called to do? And that is to serve in the way of evangelism, serve in the way of loving other people unconditionally, serve in the way of seeking opportunities to touch lives that otherwise would not be touched. Amen? And that's an encouragement I hope to you this morning, is that no matter when Jesus said, greater works will you do, that's what the greater works are, is that he'll have an army of his followers touching lives all over the world. That's greater works. Amen? I don't know if you know the man or heard of the man, but Smith Wigglesworth, he was a minister of the gospel, a very powerful minister of the gospel. He went to a funeral one day and prayed over someone and they were raised from the dead. Wow, that was a big call, wasn't it? Who'd have the courage to do that? I certainly would want to definitely be hearing from God. But the point is that that's a great work, but even that work doesn't compare to the great works of Jesus. But he said we can have what he has. We can do what he did, but only under his anointing, only under his authority, only under his leading, only under the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. If we embrace the Holy Spirit, this message isn't hard for you this morning. It's not going to be hard to fulfill, because when you have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, everything that you do for God is an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute excitement. I don't know if you husbands and wives here, when you first met your wife or you first met your husband, and you were going to go out on a date for the second or third time or even the first time, did you have this funny feeling in your tummy? Really excited? Saying, oh, I'm going out to dinner. I'm going to spend time with the one that I might marry one day, I don't know. And you're just so excited to be there. There was no other place you wanted to be. That's the same with us, with the Lord. That's what he wants. He wants that excitement. He wants those butterflies in our tummies saying, I'm so excited this morning. I'm excited to be in the house of God. I'm so excited to be in his presence. I'm so excited to open up the word and study the word at home. I'm so excited to go into my prayer closet. I'm so excited to go and serve in the community for the Lord. I'm so excited. There needs to be an excitement in our hearts. You know, the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, they were doing a lot of good things, but they'd lost their first love. They'd lost their first love, that passion where, you know, I wake up on a Sunday morning and, oh, church, I've got to go to church. I do this, I'd open the Bible, oh, I'm going to read the Bible. But then suddenly those things are replaced with golf and fishing in relation to church on a Sunday morning. Suddenly the reading the Bible and prayer is replaced with television. Suddenly all these other things that God wants us to be doing in fellowship, it all gets replaced. And I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that to judge you guys. That's what's happened in my life. You can just take it on board and do what you want. But I'm not saying not to watch television. But I am saying is that we need to place God here instead of here. Because I know in my life at times I've placed him right down on the bottom of the barrel. I just said, Lord, can you just wait there for a while? When I have a hard time, I'll come back and I'll grab you so I can be pulled back out of my mess. It doesn't work like that. God wants relationship. He doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. Religion is a system of faith. It's a way of doing things that we've always done. It's a tradition. But relationship is pure. Relationship undefiled in Jesus. And that we can embrace each other. We can have a discerning heart towards each other when someone is going through something. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the point where I can just meet someone and by the leading of the Holy Spirit that I just know that that person's going through a tough time without them saying a word, and I can just be a help to them in some way. I just want to be a servant. And I pray that that's your heart this morning as well, the servant's heart. Because Jesus was the greatest example. He was the ultimate example of servanthood. He laid his life down. This coming week, on Friday and Sunday, we'll be sharing messages about the cross, about the message of the cross, about Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, he laid everything down for us. And I think it'd be good this morning for us to prepare our hearts before the Lord to say, Lord, I don't want to just come at Easter time and Christmas time to hear the Word of God and to even be thinking about evangelism and others out there. I want to do that every day. I want to be doing, I want to have a heart for people every day. And I want to go to that place, that higher place in you and that deeper place in you, that where when I go to that place, all my sadness is turned into joy. All my mourning is turned into dancing. All my hopelessness is turned into hope. My loneliness is replaced with the presence of Almighty God and the presence of fellowship with like-minded believers. All those things that have had me bound, I've been released, I've been set free, and the Son has set me free, because that's what the Bible says. He'll set you free. A servant is not a slave. A servant is a servant. They are there by choice. A slave is not there by choice. A slave is there and they have a taskmaster. The Bible does talk about slaves of Christ, but I'm not talking about that today. There is biblical teachings on that, but I want to be a servant in the house of God. You know, Psalm 84 says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, just a doorkeeper in the house of God, then dwell in the tents of wickedness. In other words, I'd be rather just doing something little for God, wherever it is, in church, out of church, in the community, wherever it is, than going out and just living my life for the devil. Basically, that's what it means. I'd just rather have a little part. Who wants just a little part of what God has for them? You know, just even a little part, because, you know, one touch from God will just transform a life. It'll change a life forever. I went to a conference in 1991, and I was saved in that same year. And at that conference, they were giving out shirts. And the shirt said, "One word from God will change your life forever." And from 1991, my life was changed forever, not because of the shirt, but because of Jesus. He changed my life. He transformed my life. And I've lived a perfect, spotless, without blemish life ever since. I had to break that. It was getting too serious. Okay. So, obviously you laughed. You know that's not true. So, I'm going to conclude the message this morning. Everyone says hallelujah, amen. And I want to leave you with this message about being a soul winner. That's part of your servanthood. That's a big part of your servanthood. You know, it's one thing to serve in the church and to serve in the community. That's all great. But we want to be soul winners. And Jesus said this in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18. And it says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.'" The message I want to leave with you today from that passage is go. Don't be a stayer. Be a goer. Have you ever known someone and you called them, "Oh, gee, they're a real goer"? They're so motivated, they don't stop. They're like an energizer battery. When you see someone like that, they are inspirational a lot of the time. And if they're not, you're just not taking enough notice. But I want you to be encouraged this morning, and I want to encourage you. Go out this week and be a goer for Jesus. Sometimes he will tell you to stay and be a stayer. Sometimes we wait on the Lord. But when it comes to your calling, when it comes to servanthood, when it comes to winning souls, we need to be goers, not stayers. We need to go into the world and preach the gospel. In the Anthony translation of that, when I was a pastor that had lost his way a little bit, it was, "Come ye into my church and I will preach you the gospel. Then you can hear it." No. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Bring about change in the life of someone who needs change. We all need change in some way or another, even as believers. We're not perfect. When I said that little joke before, I've made plenty of mistakes. I've fallen short of his glory on a daily basis. Ever since 1991, I'm sure of it. But does that change the way he feels about me? Does that change his love for me? Does that change his plan and his purpose for me? Does that mean, just like the church at Ephesus, where the warning was, if you don't go back to that first love, that I'll remove your lampstand, I'll remove the light, I'll remove the word, I'll remove that relationship? No, Jesus won't do that. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But we do have a responsibility, church, to walk hand in hand with him every day. And whenever we feel like just saying, you know, like that little child, "Don't hold me, Dad. Don't hold me, Dad." Just hold onto his hand tightly. Because one day, if you hold onto that hand, you're going to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful," not slave, "person." What is it? "Well done, good and faithful servant." And one day, we're going to be there. We're going to be in his presence for all eternity. There's going to be no more tears, no more sadness, no more hurt, no more death. No more of what we see in this world. None of it. It'll be all gone. We can live a good life now, yes. But my best life's coming. Your best life's coming. If you know Jesus, he's going to take you into his kingdom forevermore. You're in his kingdom now, but he's going to take you into that new realm, into that place where the enemy can no longer touch you. The enemy can no longer have an influence on you, where your flesh has finally been overcome. Your redemption draws near. In fact, your redemption's here. And his name is Jesus.